Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. And happy holiday season. I'm going to take it off in a minute. But thank you so much for your welcome. Thank you so much for coming this morning and to celebrate together one of the most Jewish important holidays, Passover. So I'm going to start. We have a lot to learn this morning with all the things that are on the table. This is how you are to eat it. With your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plagues will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Shalom, my name is Tzachi Danor, and I'm a missionary with Jews for Jesus. Can you hear my accent? Yes. That's right. I am from Israel, the land where Jesus walked so long ago. In Israel, there are more than 8 million Jewish people, but only about 20,000 of them believe in Jesus. Isn't it amazing? The land of the Bible is mostly unreached with the gospel. It is a miracle that I'm standing here before you today. By His grace, Jesus freed me from sin and death to my faith in Messiah Yeshua. Now I am free to serve and live for Him. Hallelujah. This morning I want to show you how to see Jesus in the Jewish holiday of Passover. Please look closely and see a picture of His death, His resurrection, and His return. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 22, verses 7, 8, and 13. Luke 22, 7, 8, and 13. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Yeshua sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." They left and found things just as Yeshua had told them, so they prepared the Passover. The first day of Passover began a seven-day holiday called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. During this time, we eat no leaven. Why not? Because in the Bible, leaven is often a symbol for a sin. During the very first Passover in Egypt, my ancestors were told to eat their Passover lamb with their sandals on their feet and with their staff in their hand, ready to go. But now, we relax on pillows. You see, in ancient Middle Eastern societies, only the free could relax at dinner. Only the redeemed. Listen good for that word redeemed. You're going to hear a lot about redemption today. On Passover, the head of the house puts on a special garment called a kittel. White is the color of purity, and it reminds us of the robes that the ancient Levites and priests used to wear. Jewish men often cover their heads out of respect, but instead of using the usual kippah, the leader of Passover might wear a special mitre like a crown. So we wear priestly robes and a symbol of a crown. Why? Because on Passover, the head of the house is like a king. And like a king, he guides his family through the traditional Passover Seder. Seder is a Hebrew word, and it means order, because Passover follows a very specific order. That order is written here in this book called the Haggadah, which means the telling. Well, I think we are ready. Are you ready? Come, celebrate the Passover with me. We begin by lighting the candles. This is usually the honor of the woman of the house. But since my wife is not with me today, I will ask my friend Sharon to come and to light the candles for us today. I will do the blessing in Hebrew, and Sharon will follow this in English. ברוך אתה, אדוני, אלוהינו מלך העולם, אשר קידשנו במצוותיו וציוונו להדליק נר של פסח. אמן.
Blessed are you, O Lord God of the universe, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and has commanded us that we light the Passover lights.
And we all say, Amen. Thank you very much. You know, when I see Sharon light these candles, I remember that the Messiah, the light of the world, did not come from the seed of man, but from the seed of woman. The scripture declares, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, a light to light the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. During the meal, each person drinks from his cup four times. The first time we drink, we call the cup the Kiddush cup, which means the cup of sanctification. The second time, we call it the cup of plagues. The third time we drink, we call the cup of redemption. There is that word again, redemption. This cup is the most important part of the service. Finally, the fourth cup is the cup of Hallel, the cup of praise. At the start of the service, the leader lifts up the Kiddush cup and blesses God for giving us the fruit of the vine. Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, bore pri hagafen. Amen. The service has begun. Now, the youngest person at the service asks the traditional four questions that found in the Haganah, in the Haggadah. They begin like this. Ma nishtana alayla azeh mikol alaylot. Mikol ha-leilot. Which means, why is this night different from all other nights? We there don't expand. This is because what the Lord did for me when he brought me out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, when he redeemed me with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Redemption. This is the heart of Passover. But Passover tells us more than God's message of redemption. Passover tells us God's method of redemption through the sacrifice of a spotless lamb of God. My ancestors in Egypt took a spotless lamb, roasted it without breaking any of its bones, and put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of our homes. Because we believed and obeyed, God passed over our home when he killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. We were saved from God's judgment because we were covered by the blood of the Lamb. If we had refused to believe God and obeyed, then God's judgment would not pass over us. The child asked, Another question. Why on this night do we eat only unleavened bread, which we call matzah? The adult explained, our ancestors, in their haste to leave Egypt, they had to take the bread with them while it was still flat. This is called a matzah tash. It has three parts, and we put a piece of matzah in each part. During the meal, we take out the middle part. It has a special name. It's called the afikoman, which means that which comes later. And this is what happened to the afikoman. It comes later. First, we bless it, and then we break it. And then we bury part of it like this. Now look what happened. This is a special game for the little ones. They hide their eyes and we hide it from them. Later, all of them look for it. And one of them must find it and bring it back. If not, we cannot end the service. And guess what? We might stay here until midnight. But why is the afikoman broken, buried, and then brought back? You will have to wait to find out. And when you hear the explanation, you will understand more about Jesus. The child asked the last two questions. Why on this night do we eat only bitter herbs instead of all kinds of herbs? And why do we dip our food two times when normally we don't even dip our food once? Let me explain to you by showing you this. This is called a seder plate. Despite the way it looks, it is not used for deviled eggs. We put a special piece of Passover food on each one of these places, and each piece of food tells part of the story of Passover. For example, the first food is called karpas. We usually use parsley. It represents life. But before we eat, we dip it in salt water, which represents tears. So by dipping, we are reminded that a life without redemption is a life that's soaked in tears. Next, we have the chazeret, the root of the bitter herb. We use an onion or a horseradish root. And this symbol reminds us that the root of life is bitter, just like it was for our ancestors in Egypt. Next, we have the maror, freshly ground horseradish. We are supposed to eat a full teaspoon of horseradish on Passover. Any volunteers? I start with you, Rabbi. But before you do it, let me tell you what happens when you eat a full teaspoon of horseradish. You cry. You don't have a choice. It's a competition between the horseradish and your sinuses. And the horseradish always wins. Like the chazeret, the maror reminds us that life is bitter without redemption. I'm sure this you will take. Next is the charoset, and it represents the mortar that our ancestors put between the bricks they made for Pharaoh. It's made of chopped apples, raisins, honey, and nuts, and it tastes delicious. But why such a sweet mixture used to represent such bitter work? The rabbis explain that even the bitterest work is made sweet with the promise of redemption. This is not an Easter egg. This is called the Chagiga, which is also a name of a special temple sacrifice in Jerusalem. We roast the egg and then turns it brown. The Chagiga is a token of grief to our people. Grief over the destructions of the second temple. During the meal, each person gets a piece and dips it in salt water, which represents what?
Tears.
That's right, tears. But the Chagiga is not only a token of grief. It's also a symbol for a new life. But for me, the most fascinating piece of food on the Seder plate, it's this one. It's called the Zroa. It's a shank bone from a lamb. You know, Passover is also called the Feast of the Passover Lamb. But today, on Passover, lamb is not served. Why not? Because those lambs that we ate when the temple stood in Jerusalem were the Passover sacrifices. But the temple was destroyed by the Romans in the year 70 AD. Since that time, there have been no sacrifices. Instead, we put this zroa, the shank bone, on the Seder plate to remind us of those sacrifices that no longer take place. You know, this zroa makes me think of a very important question. With no temple, with no sacrifice, and with no Lamb of God, how can we know we are redeemed? The law of Moses declares, I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement. But today, with no temple, with no sacrifice, and with no Lamb of God, how can we make an atonement? How? This is how. Over 2,000 years ago, there was a Jewish man named Yohanan. In English, you call him John. John the Baptist. One day, he saw another Jewish man named Yeshua. In English, you call him
Jesus.
And John declared, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is how my ancestors were redeemed in the land of Egypt, by looking forward to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that is how we are redeemed today, by looking back to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now it's time for the second cup, the cup of plagues. Passover is a time to rejoice, and the full cup is a symbol of complete joy. But today on Passover, our joy is not complete. Why not? Because we remember what happened to the Egyptians and we mourn. That is why we empty something from our cups as we recite the names of each plague that fell upon the land of Egypt. But as I said, Passover is a time to rejoice. And today I praise and thank God, not only because my ancestors were redeemed in the land of Egypt. I rejoice because I have been redeemed from the power of sin and death through my faith in Messiah Yeshua. Through him, each one of us may pass over from death to life. And now, the cups are put aside and the meal is served. But today, unfortunately, I will not serve you the wonderful food that we eat on Passover. But I do want to tell you about the wonderful ways that God has been using to reach my people in Israel. And different ways that God is using us, the missionaries. And after that, I will come back and conclude the presentation and show you how the rest of the symbols point very specifically to Jesus. I would like to take this natural break in the service to share with you a little bit about my ministry in Israel. In Jews for Jesus, we are relentlessly pursue God's plan for the salvation of the Jewish people. I serve with our branch in Tel Aviv, Israel. In Jews for Jesus, we are always looking for ways, creative ways, to reach our people with the good news of the salvation in Jesus. One day, we might greet commuters with coffee and pastries. Another day we might travel from one train station to another to put books in a library that's located in the stations. But the favorite way for me to hold signs, different signs, that says you are loved, to help to start conversations with people on the streets. Whatever we do, the goal is one, to reach our people and to tell them about Yeshua, to show them that Jesus, he is the Jewish promised Messiah from the Bible, to sit with them together with the Bible open and to study with them. I want to share with you a little bit in the next few minutes about the highlights of last year and this year. I don't know if you heard about Behold Your God outreach campaign that we started in Israel in 2008. The vision was to reach the land in through 12 geographic in 12 geographic areas and to do it through 12 outreach campaigns. So we started in 2008, and the last campaign, number 12, was last year in Jerusalem. In May, for 1 month. Many highlights, many great stories. Please make sure to get to our website and to see, to look for the Behold Your God Jerusalem stories. But this, I wanted to share with you about this slide. I was part of the sport team. We had many teams in Jerusalem in that campaign. All JFJ missionaries in the world came to participate in this campaign. I was part of the sport team, and we organized, one of the things we did during the month, we organized a soccer tournament. I love soccer. I play soccer every Friday with non-believers. Please pray for me that I will continue to share with them about Yeshua. So we organized a one-week tournament for men and women. This picture that I brought for you, it's the whole women teams. It was a very, very special thing. If you can see, in the middle there is a team of the women with their cover, their hair, their head is covered. It means they are Orthodox women. That they gathered the team and they came to participate in the soccer tournament. They all know who we are and why we are doing this, to bless the people in Jerusalem. I want to share with you about Artsy, so you can pray for him. Artsy is 29 years old. He prayed with me on the phone 2 years ago, in Israel, of course. There was a period of time that it was silent. His wife forbidden him to be in touch with me. She knows that I am from Jews for Jesus. I kept in touch with him on the phone, and we couldn't meet. But last year, in the fall, finally we got to meet, and we had a deep conversation about what is next. I told him, Artsy, you pray to receive Yeshua. You need to continue to walk with him. I gave him books to read. And then he told me, it's hard for me to read. So I gave him CDs of the whole Bible. And his very loyalty, since then, since last fall, to listen every day to the CD of the whole Bible. In his car, and he also remembered to take it out from his car and to put it, to listen it in his computer, and back and forth like this. He writes for me questions, and we talk on the phone every other week, and I answer the questions. We meet once a month, and we pray together. Just before I flew here, I met with Artsy, and I gave him this opportunity and the idea to get baptized. He was very happy to hear about it. And I have a friend, I assigned a friend, very good friend in Tel Aviv, While I am not there, the whole month of April, I am going to be here in Canada. I asked him, please take over and teach Artsy about baptism. So when I come back in May, we will be ready to baptize him in Tel Aviv. So please remember to pray for David Artsy. And the last thing I want to tell you is about the Messianic Believer Summer Camp that I'm coordinating and leading in Israel. This is my, I had last summer was my fifth year. And because of different changes in our office in Israel, so I'm not going to lead it anymore. Someone else is going to assign for this. But I want to share with you, as only child for my family, no brothers, no sisters, and I grew up with no father. Can you imagine that God put me, my wife and I, to lead and to coordinate a summer camp in the whole month of August, every year, close to 300 kids, plus 60 staff. It was totally new world for me. I never had any interaction with kids. I never shared anything when I was a boy because I didn't have a brother and sisters. I was alone. And now, after 5 years, I have a deep relationship with the parents and I love the kids. And this, every year in the month of August, really changed my life. Please pray for the next generation that going to come today to this summer camp in August. You know, they are waiting the whole year there for this month. There are three ways that you can be standing with us. The first and most important way is by praying for our ministry. Please take out the involvement card that you received, and if someone didn't receive it, please raise your hand and one of the ushers, I believe, will bring it to you. But take out the involvement card. Okay? Can I have one? Enter the reminder prayer. Okay, let's do it together. Thanks. So this is the involvement card. And please tear the reminder prayer. Please don't throw this little piece. It's very important to remember to pray for us. Please put it in your favorite place in the Bible to remember to pray for Artsy, for the follow-up after the last campaign in Jerusalem, and for the young generations in the summer camp. By filling out this involvement section, involvement card, you can sign up for a free monthly newsletter. In our newsletter, you can find more information about the Jewish roots of our faith. You can find tips on witnessing to Jews. And the most important, our newsletter always have prayer requests. Because of a very strong spiritually and physically opposition we are facing in Israel, we desperately need your prayers. So please, go out. Please, go ahead and fill out this involvement card and later drop it in the offering. Also, you can receive our a monthly email update from our branch in Canada. The headquarters, JFJ, Jews for Jesus headquarters in Canada, located in Toronto. So you can receive email, a monthly update, and also you can receive my personal letters that you can have free on the table outside, copies of my last two letters. You can receive them every couple months by email. The second way that you can be standing with us is by giving financially. But before you do it, let me give you please two reasons why you should not give to the ministry of Jews for Jesus. First reason, if you don't know Jesus yet as your Savior and your Lord, if someone came here this morning to celebrate Passover with us and you don't know Jesus yet, please don't give in the offering. He don't need your money. He wants your heart. Jesus is always looking for to have a personal relationship with you. Therefore, please do not give in the offering. Second reason, if you're going to give out from your normal tithe, those belongs to your home congregations, wherever that may be. Just for Jews, we are not a church. We are an arm of the church. Therefore, anything you give to Jews for Jews must be above and beyond your normal tithe. If you do choose to give this morning, thank you very much. Please indicate the amount on the card with all your information so we can receive you. We can thank you and receive you properly. If you make a check, please make it to Jews for Jesus only, not to the church. And you also have an option to give by credit card, and the information is on the card as well. So I want to remind you, if some of you didn't receive the card, please see one of the ushers and ask for the card. And please don't forget to drop it in the offering later, either you give or not, so we can send you our free newsletter. The third way that you can be studying with us is by visiting me and my friend Sharon and Dick at the table over there in the entrance. Over there I have free literature section and not so free section. In the free section, you can find many different cards and brochures that talks about our ministry and give you examples of what we are doing and how we do it. You can find also my wife and I, Sarah, as you see. Oh, can you please go to the last slide? The last one. My wife, Sarah, we are married this year. We're going to celebrate 10 years. And she is from America. And we have a deep relationship, deep connection with Canada. Her family from Ottawa. And they moved later. Her mother and her parents, my wife's grandparents, later they moved to live very close to here, in Agassiz. They had a farm over there, and they raised their children over there. Later, when Sarah's mother got married with her father, they moved to Pennsylvania. Also, we got married in Canada, in Montreal. And in the past 10 years, I'm coming at this time to Canada. So I love your country. I love all the relationship that I built in the past 10 years with brothers and sisters in the four provinces, BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba. For the first time, I go in a few weeks. So this is our prayer card. Please make sure to stop by at the table and to take our prayer card to remember to pray for us. In the not-so-free section, I have books for you all, like this one, Messianic Family Haggadah, like here, what I have on the table. This book goes into many, many details on how to celebrate the Passover Seder. I also have these devotions from the field. Missionaries from Jews for Jesus give you ideas and short devotions from the Bible. And this book, Not Ashamed. I also have gospel music for you all. And the reason I brought this gospel music with me, you know why? So you all know what praise music sounds like when we all enter to heaven. Please make sure to stop by and to ask questions and to take a look at the free section so you can have my testimony and my update letters. We will be glad to help you over there. Please, Pastor, come to collect the free will offering.
I'm going to ask our ushers to come up at this time. We're going to take up this offering, and the money that is collected now goes 100% to continue the work for Jews for Jesus and what God is doing there. It was a great privilege for us to be in Israel and to see how God is moving amongst the Jewish people. It is a difficult, it's interesting that you started with that, brother, about the fact that there are so few Christians in that country. And so we really do need to pray. Father, I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for the opportunity of giving. And Lord, as we remember those that are working in that nation where Jesus walked, Father, there's such a need there. And I pray in Jesus' name, as we give from a cheerful heart, I pray that this that we are doing here today would have a lasting impact upon your people in that nation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to take up the offering at this time. Maybe we can put it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for your prayers and for your support. I would love to keep in touch with you personally if you put your emails also. After the meal, we drink the third cup of redemption. Do you remember? I said that this cup is the most important part of the service. However, we have a problem. We cannot drink this cup just yet because something is missing. Do you remember? Earlier, we broke something, we buried it, and now we need to bring it back. Do you remember what it was called? I heard. Can you say loud? That's right. The Afikomen. At this time, we send all the children to look for the buried Afikomen. Finally, one of them finds it and brings it back to the head of the house. He must redeem it from the child. In other words, he must buy it back. Then he unwraps it and breaks it again in about the size of an olive and gives to everyone at the table. Does this tradition look familiar to you? This is a picture of our communion service. Now let me ask you an amazing and very important question. Where can we see a better picture of our Messiah Jesus than in this tradition of the Afikomen, which is broken, buried, and then brought back? Even the matzah itself is a picture of Jesus because it is unleavened, a symbol of a sinless nature. You know, when the matzah is made in a very special way, it is striped. Jesus was striped. Isaiah wrote, with his stripes we are healed. Also, the matzah is pierced. Jesus was pierced. God spoke to Zechariah and said, "They shall look upon me, whom have they pierced?" I can see the Messiah in the Afikomen. I can see him also in the matzah tash. Do you remember this pouch that holds three pieces of matzah? According to the Passover tradition, the three are united like one. However, no one understands this strange meaning, three in one. Some rabbis explain that the three matzahs are a picture of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But if that is true, then why is the middle matzah broken, buried, and then brought back? Some rabbis explain that the three matzahs are a picture of the priest, the Levites, and the people of Israel. But if that is true, then why is the middle matzah, the Afikomen, is broken, buried, and then brought back? No one knows. But we, Jews for Jesus, knows. The three matzahs are a picture of one God who has revealed himself to us in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is a special word in Hebrew that sometimes means this kind of unity. It is the word Echad. It is the word that God used when he declared, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The word for one that God used in this sentence is the word Echad. So why is the middle matzah broken, buried, and then brought back? Because Jesus was broken. He was buried and then brought back to us. He said, "This is my body, broken for you and you and all of us. Do this in remembrance of me." And now it is time to drink the third cup, the cup of redemption. Do you know? The fruit of the vine on Passover is usually red. This reminds us of the blood of the first Passover lambs. Those lambs were sacrificed to redeem us, to buy us back from slavery to Pharaoh. In the same way, the blood of Messiah Yeshua was sacrificed to redeem us, to buy us back from slavery to sin and death. That is why Jesus lifted the third cup when in the last meal. He lifted this cup and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins." According to the Passover tradition, we eat the Afikomen and we drink the cup of redemption together as a reminder of the body and the blood of the Passover lamb. My Passover lamb is Jesus. And now we come to the fourth cup. You all know a Hebrew word, but maybe you don't know that it's in Hebrew. Do you know what's the word? What? Say again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is the cup of Hallel, the cup of praise. There is another cup that I never told you about. This one. The cup of Elijah. No one drinks from this cup. And in many Jewish homes, you will not find only a cup of Elijah. You will find a chair, a pillow, and a plate. All for Elijah. Why? Because the prophet Malachi said that before the Messiah comes, the prophet Elijah will return. That is why every year on Passover Seder, a child goes to the door, opens it wide, hoping that the prophet will enter to the home and announce the coming of Mashiach ben David, Messiah, son of David. I know that the prophet has come. You see, when Jesus talked about John the Baptist, he said, if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. The prophet has come and the Messiah has come for Jews and Gentiles alike. Let's pray. Our Father, our King, our Lord, our Messiah forever and ever, we thank you, Abba, so much for this special holiday that you gave us to celebrate, to remember you, to lift up your name, and to remember what you did for us long ago, and what you did for us, and what you are doing for us today. We thank you, Abba, for your blessings through this holiday, through Yeshua. And I pray, Abba, right now, for my brothers and sisters here in this church, that you will bless them in this Passover month. Bless them in their homes, families, friends. I pray, Abba, that you will show them your light in different ways. Help them, Abba, to reach their community, families, friends who don't know you yet. I pray, Abba, for everything that's happening in this church and in your people's life. I pray, Abba, blessings. I pray, Abba, that you will provide everything for them, that you will lead them and guide them for every program and every activity that's happening in the church this year. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen. Thank you very, very much for coming and to celebrate Passover with me today. I would love to meet with you and to talk with you and to answer your questions if you have. I will be outside in a while around the table with my friends Sharon and Dick, and I would love to greet you. So thank you. God bless.